The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews in it.
Boy, oh, boy, wow-wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the Round 6 edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. So much going on and off the field and so much to unpack. My name is Lauren Wood. I'm joined by Mick Warner, John Anderson and Scott Gullen. And Ando, we've managed to knock over just about a third of the season, sent our teams all around the country. Who would have thought?
Almost 30 years ago. It was 1991. Team U Barrack 4, St Kilda there, full forward. Tony Lockett had kicked 97 goals at this stage of the year. And wow. The leading Coleman medalist now, of Damien will know exactly, is it are they on 12 or 11 goals? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I mean, I know we've missed a fair bit of footy, but all the same, you'll never see anything like that, I'm sure, again. But it's,
I suppose it's another indicative of 2020 things, you know, the things that are very 2020, number 487. Scotty, there's a few of them. If you had said that on the 7th of July we'd be sitting here, A, doing our podcast from our lounge rooms yet again, and that B, we'd have no teams residing here in Victoria, I probably would have told you to go and jump off the Barnheads Pier.
Yeah, extraordinary, Loz. I mean, you know, the second wave, we kept hearing it, but I think we all thought, oh, we've nailed this corona thing. We're all going well. We'll just get used to no crowds. Then we'll start getting crowds back, you know. I think Geelong and everyone was planning to have crowds in July, and now Geelong won't be anywhere near Cadinia Park for a month, and yeah, everyone's out of town.
Well, Mick, we're waiting to hear at the moment. Tuesday lunchtime from Dan Andrews, who's not only tasked with running the state at the moment in this crisis, but I believe he's leading the Herald Sun footy tipping too at this stage. So he's put
that's the only
shame
thing
in
he's
that
leading.
Regard. But what
that's
about
the only thing he's leading in the whole world. It is an absolute disgrace what's happened in Victoria. This is not the place for it, but you know, there'll be an inquiry. We'll get to the bottom of it. And I'm always critical of the AFL, but I've got to say that their efforts to keep the season rolling, I was a bit cynical at the start of the year whether we needed a season at all, but I think we do. And I am. It's amazing that they've managed to get all the teams out. They must have got a tip-off of some sort because they were going to go Monday. They went Sunday. They got him out. Even Tom Lynch got a private jet somehow before the stroke of midnight. And the show goes on. And whilst there's footy, there's something to do on the weekend.
And just on that, you go, say, I use Collingwood as an example. They're currently staying in Darling Harbour. They've got press out the front of their hotel and they've got a police presence. So if any of their players go out in a trio, a group of three, they're gone, not like any other club, and that's how seriously New South Wales are taking this. So it's a really tricky situation for these clubs, and they've also got to manage trying to get Jordan to go in still side bottom somehow over to Perth when the club goes over there, and those blokes, or to Goey, hopefully for them will be available on Saturday or the next weekend, round 7. So that's a situation itself. Do they get a private jet? That's the only way they can do it, I think.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, we saw Tom Lynch do it. It was a very small plane with two very tall men in it.
I wasn't happy to have Tom Lynch on that plane, to be honest. I've just seen Robert Doyle walk past me in South Melbourne. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Talk about newsworthy people.
Not pleased, Mick, to have Tom Lynch on that plane because you've put the white flag up for the season saying that Richmond can't win it and you'd rather he not risk any injury to his hand?
No, because I don't like light planes at the best of times, especially a superstar like Tom Lynch. Oh, look, a lot of people have written off Richmond and they're kidding themselves like they were last year when we all got a piece of the $17 in June. So, yeah, I hope they do keep writing them off because they had their mojo back on the weekend, but I'm talking out of order.
Had their mojo back beating Melbourne?
Yeah, well, you've got to get it back.
And
hey,
don't you Ando, for one moment sit there and try and tell me that you Ando, thought that Richmond was anywhere near the side they'd been previously.
It doesn't matter what bar you go to. It's just about getting yourself back in form. And it just happened to be Melbourne. And it wasn't pretty. I agree, but Richmond don't play pretty. But they just started to get a bit of their trademark back. I was quite happy with what I saw.
What about you, Scotty? You're unbiased when it comes to the Tigers. Obviously, no duffel coat down in Bowen Heads for you. Did you like what you saw, or are you in Ando's camp of they beat?
I'm a bit in Ando's camp. I mean, Melbourne are just wowee. And I think the injury toll is an issue for Richmond. I want to see Dustin show more interest and hopefully
he's got broken ribs, Scott.
Well, don't play and tell us and just man.
And he
up.
Was
don't
really
talk.
He looked affected several times, didn't he, on the weekend. There was one moment where he sort of I think he kicked it to Lynch at the top of the goal square and then spent the next 2 minutes just kind of curled up in the fetal position on the ground, didn't he, Mick? It didn't look good.
There was some doubt he could get on the plane because of the rib lung issue. So anyway, you guys are kidding yourselves. I hope you continue to do so. Because they're back in town, the Tigers.
Well, we will get to Melbourne a little bit later. Of course, comprehensive coverage in the Herald Sun today and some former greats sort of having their whack at the club and what's going wrong with them. But Ando mentioned Collingwood just then, Mick. They've got issues with with complying with the New South Wales government and New South Wales police. But they've got a hell of a lot else on their plate, don't they? Last week was sort of – it was a week you couldn't really script, wasn't it?
They were premiership favourites a couple of weeks ago. Brisbane are now rightly premiership favourites. They were excellent on the weekend. They look to have all boxes ticked, young Brisbane, whether they can perform when it matters, although this year finals being away from Melbourne, who knows. But Collingwood, yeah, what a mess. And starts right at the top. Eddie Everywhere's had another shocking week. And I think the problem with Eddie Maguire, like all narcissists, you think of Donald Trump and these types, they can never ever admit that they are wrong or have done something wrong or said something wrong. Their just automatic default position is to defend and spin and be hypocritical. And that's exactly what happened with Maguire. And it's going to continue to happen because it's just not in his DNA to say, yeah. I mean, you and I, us normal people, if we were exposed with the hypocrisy of what he said about Steel Sidebottom, we'd be so embarrassed. But it doesn't work that way with him.
His rant on radio on, when was that, Monday, to try and explain himself was, even by his standards, laughable. And even like Luke Darcy and his co-hosts, even them are just shaking their heads. But you're right, Mick.
Shake their heads. They've been playing along with it for years. That's the problem with Maguire. He surrounds himself with these yes people. No, I that's why he gets away with it.
No, it's... And like, but how they lost, Essendon, they're sort of surprising everyone in a sense. They just keep getting wins. And Collingwood, I don't know, they haven't kicked a goal for X amount of time, for months, it seems like. They've got surprisingly issues on the field, apart from your side bottom of the goalie, but just their system is also an issue suddenly.
Would you stick with Mason Cox?
I would. I mean, you know, Cameron came in and looked good, but then went out. Maybe just alternate the two. I mean, Cox has come good in big games before. I wouldn't write him off just yet.
Late Saturday afternoon, the reports were that it had blindsided Collingwood and sort of come out of nowhere. And then the days that have followed have, generated quite a bit of discussion from, you know, Jessica Halloran wrote a piece in The Australian and also at heraldsun.com.au questioning whether Jordan should be playing. Obviously, he's not going to play this week. By attending the police station, he now has to pass two coronavirus tests, given that he stepped outside the bubble before he'll endeavour to fly to Perth with Steel Sidebottom. But should he be playing?
My understanding, Loz, is he had absolutely no idea that it was coming and nor did the club. They were stunned on Saturday morning when I think Jordan contacted them and said, look, I'm at the police station, about to be charged, what do I do? And their advice naturally was, don't say anything and we'll get a lawyer down there and we'll speak after that. I've heard what he's alleged to have done or said, can't comment on it because it hasn't gone to court yet. And when's it? That's due for, is it late October?
Well, October 30, which if the season, if we do get a bye at some point, which is probably likely with teams moving everywhere, it could be grand final eve.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he'll be on leave by then, if that's the case. when you say, should he be playing, Lauren, it's not really, I mean, we can all debate it, but why doesn't the AFL come out and explain to us why he is playing? Richard Goyder, I've said it a million times, I'll keep saying it. Where are you, Richard? Come and hold a press conference and say, yep, this guy's been charged with this crime or this allegation, and this is the reason why he's playing. But they never do it because they're too scared to face those questions.
We've had precedents. Wasn't Mad Jack Dore charged and then he played? Yep. Like, there has been recent precedents. There has.
But as we know, the world is a different place even two the years world on. Is.
I mean, the NRL changed the way they viewed things because they had a run of serious issues. So maybe it's something your man.
You mean Richard, Volandis showed leadership again?
Correct. Richard, in his when he's resting in Corona rest, can come up with it, Michael.
I think the AFL should address the Degoe situation.
Well, we've had a few, haven't we? Because Stephen Milne, he was stood down for 2 weeks. You mentioned Mad Jack Dore. He wasn't stood down. His legal process went for something like 17 months before he was acquitted. Obviously, then there's the situation at St Kilda, isn't there, of Andrew Lovett was sacked and then he was acquitted. He was charged, then he was sacked, then he was acquitted. So you say, the world has changed, Mick. I don't quite know how I feel about Jordan playing. It's just I can sort of see it from both sides. It'll be interesting to see what sort of reception he gets, but it's just fraught with complexity, isn't it?
And that's why it's up to the leadership to explain what concerns people have and give a very clear account of as much as they can of whether they think it's at the lower end or whatever. But the silence is deafening.
On field for Collingwood, we spoke a little bit just before about what they need to do, Ando. They were beaten by Essendon, obviously, who had their injury troubles throughout the night of, Jake Stringer and the likes, who's now going to miss potentially up to 3 months with that syndesmosis injury. Hasn't that become the buzzword of the season?
Never heard
it's
of sort it.
Of, it's Joel up there Sir with coronavirus.
It's like the had syndesmosis.
Yeah, it's sort of.
It's OP.
It's come on in leaps and bounds, that one. It's the year for it. What did you make of the Bombers? And how big was that result for them, or do we not look too much into it given Collingwood's woes?
No, you got to look. No, give them credit where credit's due. They're one of those sides that we write them off quickly every second week. So they said they're in a Collingwood Melbourne bracket, aren't they? But ultimately, they seem to be winning a few games that matter. I'm not sure with Jake Stringer, he's kind of the match winner. If he didn't play the other night, they don't win. Even though he doesn't get a lot of it, he kicks 3 goals. So Collingwood, I find Collingwood fascinating in that they've got the dominant ruckman in the competition, arguably, with Brodie Grundy or Max Gawn. I'll go for Brodie Grundy. Yet the advantage they get from his aerial dominance in terms of tap-outs is so small. And they've got really clever midfield players like Scott Pendlebury or Adam Treloar or Adams, I mean, you can go on. Phillips doesn't play there at the moment.
It's the best midfield in history, according to Lloydie.
Well, they're getting not at the moment, Mick, is it? I mean, they're not getting what they should be, and they've got a real disconnect there with Grundy, and we saw that in the prelim final last year against GWS. It's something that their coaching staff hasn't been able to correct. It was obvious when he had 70 hit-outs against Shane Mumford, who was busted up that day, and yet nothing's changed. And I look at their coaching staff and the midfield coach, whoever that is at the time. And, what's happening? It ain't working. So they've got questions to be answered.
Just on Essendon, was that Dylan Shield's best game?
Yeah. Best game in Scotty in the sense that he used the ball so well.
Yeah.
So it's never been about Dylan's ability to win the ball or his ability to run with the ball and take on the game and break lines and the rest of it. And he's ball handling, but it's just the ultimate finishing, you know, if you like the Patrick Dangerfield moment. And the other night he kicked the goal when he had to, and his hands and feet were excellent. Yeah, outstanding game.
It's a small sample size, sorry, Scotty, but their ball system, or their system appears, ball movement system is a lot better just on what I've seen, and that's probably no surprise that they've got Carousella and who was the other bloke? Who's the actual going to be?
Ben Rutten.
Sorry, I don't even know. Worsfold says he's going to stick around and stay in footy next year. He might go and coach the Crows at this rate or Melbourne, but... they just look a little bit playing a better game style, isn't it?
There are so many midfielders playing footy now who don't make the right decisions or execute it properly when they get the ball. And you look at Essendon the other night. So Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, not that he's a midfielder, but occasionally he goes in there though. But small forward or Western Bulldogs, Caleb Daniel, those blokes are both under 170 centimetres, and I'd back them against most. Just about any player in the competition when they get the ball in their hands to make the right call with it. Yeah, it's really interesting. You pick midfielders, and you get blokes. You know, I spoke to a recruiter once, a very very good one who lives somewhere near Scotty down that way, and he made the comment: if you got a bloke who gets it 28 times, or a bloke who gets it 20 times in the under 18s, and the 20 times is a far better kick or decision maker, you always go for the bloke who gets it less, because you can build up possessions in footy the way it's played. Well, get the ball in his hands, but you can't improve kicking, and we've seen that with Melbourne so much.
Well, that's the segue, Lauren. I mean, Melbourne's disposal, Clayton Oliver, on the weekend was horrendous, and they're bombing it into the forward line like Shields doing last year. So can we talk about Melbourne?
Absolutely. Well, it was next on the list, Mick. You're right. Ando's segued us in beautifully. The question listed was where is it falling down for the D's? And I think we've wrapped it up beautifully. I've been stunned by their disposal and their blatant skills. I mean, it sounds sort of a simple way to put it, Ando, doesn't it? But as Mick was saying, they're bombing it in forward. There's no one, as much as I love Tom McDonald, there's just no one really there who's, you know, ready and waiting to be the man. I know it hasn't sort of worked out at Freo, but you almost think, geez, they could do with Jesse Hogan there.
Well, Tom McDonald's a defender. He went forward and he can maybe kick around 50 goals. When he did it, Jesse Hogan was alongside him. And Sam Wiedemann was playing third fiddle. They got to a prelim final, albeit one where they didn't kick a goal in the first half. And thought, we're close. Michael Foster to the Brisbane over 10 years ago when he thought, we're a chance here. And he brought in Favola and, you know,
North Melbourne did it.
North Melbourne did it.
The false prelim is one of the most dangerous. Richmond did it in 2000-something.
One. Yep.
The false prelim. It is an absolute club killer.
Yep.
You're right, Ando.
Yep.
A lot of average teams have made prelims over history and thought they were close.
And Melbourne decided to shore up their back line, which is fine. You know, it starts in defence, but they probably didn't need to because they had Tom McDonald, who you'd go back to join the likes of Hibbard and Neville Jetta. Lever had come by that stage. Salem, if he plays there. They've got players who can play in that line, but up forward, they just haven't got anything. I mean, you think you'd try Stephen May, maybe. And Stephen May's not going to kick you 5 goals too often. But
stunning to think, isn't it, too, that Stephen May came in a trade that involved pick 6, which was Ben King.
Well, if you're close, it's not. If you're close to a premiership, it's not, because he's a star defender. If he came into a premiership team, that makes sense. And Ben King was a project player. But as Rando said, they overrated their list and now they're in list oblivion. I know Simon Goodwin's under pressure, but I want to talk about the administration of the club. You had David Schwartz this morning saying, where's the passion? He's not just talking about the players, about the whole footy club. Glenn Bartlett's the president. Now, remember that Jeff Kennett, everyone criticised him, but he was approached by Melbourne Forces about 6 or 7 years ago. Can he come and help Melbourne? He wasn't at Hawthorn, and he said he would, and the AFL blocked it, and the AFL put Glenn Bartlett in, their guy. And then the AFL put their guy, Gary Pert, in as CEO, and he appointed Simon Goodwin for 4 years after that false prelim. Why 4 years? Why not 2? I mean... I'll tell you why, because when you're spending other people's money, it's easy to make stupid decisions. If that was their own private business, they're not giving 4 years to Simon Goodwin. So, and also the other thing that I'll never forget Glenn Bartlett said is he wanted to make the Melbourne Football Club brand the equivalent of the New York Yankees, so that you would have people walking around the world with the big M for Melbourne cap on, you know, in China, and people go, oh, you're a Melbourne supporter. I mean, seriously, just worry about a football team that can win matches or even a quarter here and there. That's how you build a brand.
Other than Fitzroy supporters, Melbourne supporters more than any, I feel, for over the journey. And that's just, and for you three, that's your lifetime, because none of you are alive in 1964 when they won their last premiership. And they're a disastrous club. And Mick's right, it comes from the top, and it's just been a series of balls up decisions all the way through. They don't have a proper training ground.
They don't even have a home. But when you let the AFL choose your administration for you, you get a Gold Coast Suns, right? And that's because the AFL appoint these people. Let Melbourne appoint whoever they bloody well want in their democratic process instead of interfering all those years ago.
So what do they do? Is it as simple as you say, getting a home base and picking their people at the top? Because it's a long season now if you're going to be on the road for the entire time and playing like that.
Getting that ground at opposite or between, where is it, Wellington? What's the street where the old Hilton Hotel was?
Yeah, Wellington Parade.
Yeah, Wellington.
And Wellington Parade and the MCG. That would have been massive for them. And that's not going to happen, I understand, because of, is it residence?
No.
Would be the problem?
It's the oldest park in Melbourne with trees that are 250 years old or more. It's a disgrace that they even thought that they could just do a land grab. It's just another example of their incompetence in the boardroom. Go and find somewhere else, not Yarra Park.
It's worth a try. Well, you got to have a crack. I mean,
they're a million to one. Melbourne Footy Club's going to dig up Yarra Park. Give me a spell. It was embarrassing, the whole thing. It's never going to happen.
On the field, though, they've got to just put Petrarca in the middle and just build everything around him and just get excitement in that team, get Jetter in, play Bunnell. I mean,
Pickett looks good.
Yeah, Pickett's the only positive. Gorn, like you said, like Grundy, second best or best ruckman, you got to utilise it. And I don't know, Tom McDonald, maybe you put him in defence because it's not working, like Ando said. You got to get excitement back and let him play, because if you try...
Bennell's exciting.
Well, exactly. If you try and... Yeah, they're already subconsciously screwed in the head with the way they use the ball. Well, just let the floodgates open. Goodwin's got to try something, or else he's just ticking time bomb, I reckon.
Well, talk about a team with excitement, Scotty, and I think Mick mentioned them earlier, and that's Brisbane. They might be my second favourite team now. Mm. I've actually loved watching the Lions the last few weeks.
They have, let's not forget, they have been in their own little homes. So the next month, or when we get them away from Brisbane, I think it's a be a bit fairer opinion. I mean, I was a bit surprised at what they did to Port, but I think teams in hubs, they have a couple of good weeks and then eventually it gets you. I think Port played like they'd been in a hub for a couple of weeks. But oh, McStay, I didn't think he was that good. You know, they've got players who are stepping up. You know, Zorko's not playing. You got to love them, but they've still got to prove, you know, the finals did show them up a bit last year. And I want to see them do it away from the Gabba.
If you three are picking a premiership side right now, give me your three choices.
Oh, who'll win it? GWS. Collingwood, and then I need to think about the third. Brisbane's no automatic third for me.
Loz?
Yeah, I'd have GWS and Collingwood. Can I go for an equal third, though, or is that cheating? Because I'm still a little bit in mixed camp. I'm very hesitant to write off the Tigers in recent years. I think that'd probably be my three. What about you, Ando?
I'm West Coast Eagles.
Ooh.
And relatively confident about them.
They'll get their mojo back and just roll.
In the hashtag home hub.
I don't like Collingwood. Yeah, they go, that's right, they go home soon enough. And the most pertinent place was watching Nick Natanui last weekend. He was playing against Sydney, who got really depleted rucks, obviously, but he had a bit of bounce back, a bit of spring, and looked a different player. Tim Kelly played his most fluent game since he's joined them from Geelong. And Elliot Yeo, who's had a shocker of a season to date, was arguably best on ground with Natanui. So, I think I really like the Eagles. And after that, I'm not quite sure, maybe GWS. What about you, Mick?
I'll take the fierce hand, eh? I'll take the fierce hand.
Oh, Tigers and no threat. No threat to talk.
I can't see anyone getting near them, to be honest. No, I think Brisbane and the Giants are the two. But I agree with all your sentiments. The Eagles could get their act together. And
that reminds me a bit of Mick when he did his predictions a couple of years ago. It was something like Richmond first, Richmond VFL team second.
Ten years pretty accurate at the time.
Was that the year they choked in a prelim? Was that year?
Loz, we encourage gambling responsibly.
Responsibly, so always.
If anyone wanted to have $10 on a Brownlow medal grand for a premiership winner double, West Coast Eagles are $10, Lockie Neal's $3. Lockie Neal polled really well last year, so we know he polls. And right now, you're not sure who his obvious natural rival is. So that's $30. That's $10 to win $300. That'll do.
Well, now that Matt Rowley's only rival is no longer a rival, he's home.
Well, that was going to be my next one to put to you, Scotty. You were there on Saturday when my favourite new young player, who every time we saw him interviewed, he was just so happy to be there and he was so excited. And I'm imagining the air was absolutely sucked out of GMHBA among the no crowd.
I'd pre-written my 450 words.
I actually doubt that.
I had the feet up on the desk enjoying the – no, it was quite sad. And, afterwards when Gary Ablett and Joel Selwood went up to the kid, and that was quite genuine. Like, the spotlight was on those two, but they went and found Raoul. And, so we only got 13 minutes. Actually, the opening bounce was funny because Selwood clipped him over the head straight away and gave a free kick away. It was like, all right, here we are. This is my day, son. Let's rock and roll. But, it's sad, and he came to the bench and wanted to go back on. And it was definitely to their credit, like Geelong was 3 goals up. I thought Geelong would win by 30 goals now. And they fought back.
They did.
Ben King or Max King, whichever King it was, he kicked 3 goals in the second quarter. They're a good team. I mean, I know this is going to hurt them, but they're not going to finish in the bottom four. I think they're a little bit better than I thought.
They're not just a good team. They are really, really well coached. Really well coached. And there's obvious development. And it's not just in their kids, but in some of their journeyman type players. And you look at them and think, Holman, that player's not a great player.
Hanley into a backman, stuff like that.
He's changed his role too. Probably, did he win a BNF a couple of years ago or finish second? I think he won one, or joint winner. So he can play. But there's a few of the others. And Stuart Chew is so composed. He's just totally calm throughout the whole thing. You've never heard him say something where you thought, that's a dickhead comment. Yeah. I've been really impressed with Stuart Chew. And I think Mark Evans, they probably got their ship in order. And Mick, I know you talk about the AFL having a say in what happens in clubs and you point to Melbourne with justification. I would argue that the AFL, in terms of both Gold Coast this time around, and Brisbane, because it was the AFL, Gil McLaughlin who rang Greg Swan and asked him, could he find another 5, 6, 7 years to go up there?
Yep.
And that's worked out really well with David Noble. So then the AFL doesn't always get it wrong when they interfere with clubs' business.
Well, they certainly did setting up the Gold Coast Suns
early on,
and they shouldn't have interfered with Melbourne. I think we would agree with that.
But the Gold Coast Suns was their club, though. I mean, who else was going to set it up?
No, but I mean, I agree with you that Mark Evans appears to be turning the corner, but I think it was probably Tony Cochran who poached Evans. But I just think that the AFL should allow the clubs. You're right, in Gold Coast set themselves up originally, but with Melbourne, I don't think you should have the head office getting involved in the democratic process.
They got involved with Melbourne, and they got Peter Jackson and Paul Roos in, and that seemed to steady the ship. And you would agree that Peter Jackson's a very good operator, but you know, maybe the ship got steadied and now it's lost its mast and rudder and everything else. You know?
They maybe needed those guys to stick around a little longer.
Maybe.
And if you were adding in the theme of your Premiership Brownlow double, now that Matt Rowell is potentially, if he has the surgery, going to miss the rest of the season, if you were to add a third leg to your multi on the Rising Star, would you be like me and that they'd come from the Suns as well? Who do you think is front runner for that now that Matt might be out?
I looked this up just before, Loz, and couldn't find the market on it, which I guess is suspended, given it's unknown as to whether Matt Rowell's going to have an operation on his collarbone, which was dislocated, or whether he'll try and play through the season and have the op at the end of the year. But the way he plays footy, I think it's pretty risky to try and play through it because he's a crash bang. He's Joel Selwood, really, isn't he, when you think the way he plays. I looked last week and I think it was something like Matt Rowell was $1.01 and then the next pick was $15. Right. And I'm not even sure who it was. But
No. Tom Green from GWS is on the line there.
Yeah.
He'll win by the length of the straight.
Is it stipulate how many games you have to play, though? Why can't Rowell be the
No, like, well, Rowell could. Well, they could vote for him off four games.
Well, why doesn't
four
he
game
win
rising
it then?
Star?
Because no one ever has. There's been blokes who have had really good 15 game seasons, and because they haven't played the full amount, they haven't won it. So,
what's the criteria, though?
You've got to. The criteria is
there's no
the best young player. It's him by a mile.
Marcus Bontempelli didn't win it that year, so let's not go into that. Lewis Taylor, please.
Well, don't mention the war.
Well, Tom Green will win by space. Who's next after him?
I would have thought Ben King would be close.
Probably Jake Arts.
If he continues like that. Don't know if he'd quite fit in the age. There is criteria to do with age there, but he might get a good run, unfortunately, with your injuries. He might get a few games in.
You didn't even know who he was till last week.
No, I know exactly who he is.
He's just another little pesky.
Okay, what about Connor Berterick?
Small back pocket. He's okay.
Good little player. The kid at Fremantle, young, is it?
Young.
Yeah, he's got the ponytail. He's okay.
He's not nominated. Curtis Taylor was the nominee this week, wasn't he, from the Roos?
He's got a bit of something. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on it here.
Any of the Kings, they'll get votes.
They will. Matt Rowell, of course, sitting in the gong.
Noah Anderson, he'll get votes.
It's a good award, but I mean, it's a bit overhyped, to be honest.
Well, they definitely won't be having the lunch down at Central Pier this year because it was very swiftly moved last year, about 12 hours before the event, given that the pier was sinking. So I wouldn't have thought that'd be at the same venue. Now we've got a global pandemic. Yeah, there's a fair bit standing in the way of the Rising Star event.
It'll be online extravaganza.
I think we might be zooming all our way to all of the awards this year at this stage with what have we got reporting as we speak. Over 190 new cases in Victoria. No. So, boys,
we've just got to stop testing.
Strap yourselves in.
Depressing.
These video call podcasts. This is our new way. We live here now. This is what we do. But of course, all the players from all of the clubs now living in hubs all around the country. We've seen a couple of players stay behind. Of course, Basha Hooley. We send our congratulations to him on the birth of Muhammad. Shane Edwards has stayed behind. Gary Ablett, Ando, the news that he is still going after the incredibly sad news that his son Levi is suffering from a rare and degenerative condition. So we're certainly thinking of Gary as he jets off to the hub.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Loz. I don't know. I wasn't aware of that situation, as none of us were. It's probably speaking to a friend last night as a doctor. When something like that happens, it doesn't read well for long term because there's one word you mentioned starting with D and things don't improve. So, yeah, really, really worried about that situation with
Very, very sad situation, of course, Scotty, though. But on a little bit of a lighter note from the hubs, a number of media have been jetting to the hubs as well. Yeah.
Oh, they'll be welcome.
One of our faves here on the Herald Sun Footy podcast is The Whisper. And I know you've got a new one for us today, but The one in the paper today raised a few eyebrows. Media's getting off to Hubs on very short notice, much like the players who were forced to sort of pack up kids and homes and all that sort of stuff and jet off to the Hubs. There were a few reporters following the same sort of formula and might have needed a bit of assistance with their packing. I don't know if a Nutribullet would have been the first thing I would have packed.
Yeah, and zucchini. So it's very odd, this particular TV.
Who is it? Who is it?
It's a TV reporter, not one of our favourites, a bit of a newcomer to the column.
Oh.
But he had zucchinis packed. He had Nutribullet things, bars.
You can buy zucchinis up there, I think.
I have heard supermarkets are still operating.
I think he's
probably
might
well stocked compared to ours.
I think he thinks he may be a athlete type scenario. He needs shakes. But then underwear.
Okay, and now I know who it is. Yes, yes.
Underwear and toothbrushes didn't quite make it. So, yeah, no, I think there's
he goes commando this way, doesn't he?
Well, I think I did notice a tweet late last night from the aforementioned culprit who had a Coles bag filled with underwear and said, This is the worst use of her DMs ever. So he's obviously put the cash afforded to him by his employer straight towards the undergarments.
It reminds me of when our Dave Donaghy, our rugby writer, he went up to Manly to do a Storm Manly game, and there was a press conference, I think, at 9 a.m. in Manly. So before the presser, he went out for a dip. And he's come back in, and all the cameras have come to him because he looked after himself, Donners, and he's like, "No, I'm not one of the players. I'm actually I'm actually one of you guys." Like, oh, sure, okay. Well,
I know you'd be packing the golf clubs, Mick. But
oh yeah, on the Cubs, I tell you who's won hands down. Your team, St Kilda.
Oh,
a bit of Noosa action. Have you ever had the Bistro C hot pan seafood pasta?
Oh, yes,
I've been a regular.
You have not lived.
It is. I mean, I'd be there every night. Well done, St Kilda.
Once the
how obvious.
Over.
Who does Gil support to, and who's his best mate run?
you reckon there's a rort there?
They're at the RACV resort. So if you sort of take a right when you get to the end of Hastings Street and go up the hill there, it's just up through the shops there. Past
The surf club, a nice
I reckon Noosa Surf Club could be the best place in Australia.
Third leg of the quaddy.
Are they allowed out? What's the restrictions up there?
They'll do 2 weeks of quarantine. So they'll stay in the resort. We saw some vision of rats yesterday. He wasted no time hitting the tennis court. And he's setting up, a tennis tournament to take place tomorrow. Rats has settled himself in beautifully.
Michael Schick style serve, I think.
Once they've done the 2 weeks, they'll pretty much be free to roam as best as they can, while also, of course, following the rules set by the AFL of sort of not venturing too far. But it was all I wanted about this time of year. I said to Steph Batten, who organises all of our rostering, I said, I just need 4 days in Noosa just to thaw out a little bit. Well, of course, now we're going to be lucky to probably even go to Echuca at this point, the way that Victoria is going. Scotty, have you got a whisper for us today?
Well, the media career of a very big name who clearly is playing like he's looking at his future. He's going to have his own radio show, which is a bit of a surprise because wasn't that long ago he was a bit of a media ban, media hater, but he's embracing the new world and it'll be based a lot on the club which he plays for. But, yeah, once a week you'll find him on a local radio station.
Inside the Hub.
Yes, you'll have guests, which will be his teammates, and he'll talking about all sorts of stuff. But he is a very good media performer now, but he's got his own little time to shine. So stand by for that. I think it'll be announced tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you're typically on point with the whispers. We love them in the Herald Sun each and every day and here on the Herald Sun.
Batting a thousand,
podcast.
Just as a hint, what's the sort of average ratings for that station?
It usually peaks at about 2.1.
I'm with you now.
Oh, boy. All right. That might just about do us, boys. We'll let you continue that one.
Wow, we.
Well, that is it for the round six edition for the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. From all of our home hubs, where we may be stuck for a little while longer if things continue in Victoria as they are, boys. But we'll be right across everything that's happening in all of the hubs across the country at heraldsun.com.au and in the paper each and every day. So we'll see you same time, same place next week to unpack all of the footy.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.